Yeah, I know what I know what you're saying. Yeah, I had a nine. What do they call? Or not? Sorry, yeah, 9:30, and I ran a 9:30 for a lot of years, contesting and everything. And then when I was dropped out of the scene for about 20 years there, I decided when I retired here and I got, you know, weighed up in my health, I decided, well, I'm going to get back into amateur radio. So I brought it back out and hooked it up. Of course, it wasn't running, and I did some searching, and I found out that, oh, you know, got to probably change the capacitors, which I knew probably, you know, just from my own knowledge, I was ready, prepared to do that. But anyways, I got in there, I ended up letting a bunch of smoke out, and that was the end of that radio. So that's why I ended up buying a Yaesu, or this one here, because I figured, well, like you see, it's got everything in the box, and I can, you know, pretty much do all the modes without having a pile of equipment all over the place.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, is that most aircraft rigs that I was studying don't have 2 meter sideband in them, or UHF. They just go up to 6 meters, and they don't sell just a radio with, like they used to, with 2 meter sideband, unless you buy a 9700. Then you end up with a radio that's about $3,000 or so. And all you've got is, I think, three bands, you know, 2 meter, 440, and 1.2. And unless you're really a real hobbyist, there isn't going to be a lot of action on 1.2. And even 440 isn't a lot of action going on. But I always enjoyed the sideband on 2 meters because it gives me that HF flavor. I sort of feel like I'm doing HF, you know.
Oh, I totally agree with you 100% there. Yeah, no, I totally understand where you're going. Yeah, I had a funny problem here. I decided I was going to clean up my shack here. Finally, I figured out what I wanted to get rid of, what's in my way, and give myself my room so I could build it up and get the wires in correctly and neatly and all that. And then I went to put together yesterday, and you'd think I could make it work. I could not tune my HF at all. It was always in the red for SWR. I fought over it. I said, what the heck? Made new cables, swept them. They are all good. Swept the old ones. They were all good. Went through. And you know what I found? I took the SWR meter that I had in line of mine, because I use a big Antron manual tuner as well. I don't use the tuner in the radio at all for what I've got, because I've got a G5RV up in my attic, and it's kind of, you know, kind of a Mickey Mouse kind of way of doing things, but it's the only way I can get around it.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that's a challenge. G5RV is even a challenge, you know, if you've got the room outside in your backyard. They can be very picky, and where you place that one piece of wire and a lot of different things, a lot of, you know, interaction on those. So I'm glad you figured it out. I went through a little bit of myself. I was using Gaia coaxial connectors, or coaxial switches, I mean. I had a couple of them. And I used to do a lot on 40 meters, and I'd have a couple of antennas on 40. And I used to switch back and forth, no problem. Well, I'd switch from 40 to 80, and there was no problem on HF. But I didn't realize when I went to 2 meters and I was using the coaxial switches and I put the SWR in, the SWR was haywire. And I thought that maybe it was my jumpers, like you say. So I got the ohm meter out, was checking for shorts and different things. But I found that the antennas were fine if there was no coaxial switch. So I concluded after breathing both of them that somehow they were dodgy, and what really, even though they say they're good to 500 megs, they were dodgy on 2 meters. The other thing I noticed too, I use an RFC amp, an RFC 2317 RFC.
same thing. That was what was so weird, is I kept getting these weird readings, like I say. It was like out of, just would not tune. It just wouldn't listen to me when I was trying to tell it to do it. And I didn't have this problem ever before. And so I started looking at what was going on, and I had this before, actually, on it, when I, I put the meter back on again. I got a Yaesu, YS500, okay, for just to kind of see where my SWR is. Now, I know the antenna is good because I checked it on the spectrum analyzer, so I can trust my meter if it says it's good. But when it, I found that when I ran it through my Yaesu, that if I put it on the output for the VHF, like when we're doing sideband, it just does something to the meter and it will not work. It just throws a, what would you call it, like an SWR alarm on the radio constantly. So I take it out of there and I hook it back up again and the radio is totally happy. So I know it's in the meter. So I'm just wondering if it's the same problem with my other meter for HF side, if something got into it.
It was indicating, it's kind of pointing in that direction. Like a detective, you have to realize what it isn't first before you can get to what it is. It's like there's a lot of, you know, whether it's detective work or solving a radio problem, that's sort of what you have to go through, is a line of elimination, don't you?
You know, that's just my trade, so I kind of know I've got to do that. So it just made me a little bit understanding why the meter would create an issue for SWR, because it's just going through there and sampling.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I'm not as technical as you would be, I'm sure. My tools of trade were a chainsaw, an axe, and a draw knife for most of my working career. I was in the logging industry, and then I started out highly logging at the coast, and then I worked into interior logging, like up north and Quesnel area, and then kind of out of Kelowna, where I spent the last of my logging career. And then I went into the log home industry for about 20 years or so, and that was that ended due to some, I had previous injuries, like I said, from a motorcycle accident, and my leg let me down back in about 2009. So, I went on disability, and that's kind of where I've been since. So, yeah, well, that's interesting that you have the know-how to get in and do a change capacitors. But, you know, it's like I was thinking about some of those jobs myself, like changing capacitors and those two meter rigs, but I thought immediately I'd want a magnification like the girl uses when she cleans my teeth or the dentist. I'd want one of those, and then I'd also definitely want a fatty sucker, right?
I got that all pretty much set up on my workbench, so that's not a problem. But like I say, it was just a weird situation. So I actually put the meter back in circuit again here, the one that used for VHF. I didn't do a thing to it. I didn't open it up, nothing, plugged it on, and it's working perfectly fine right now.
You hear that? Yeah, it's nice when that can work out like that, because it is very frustrating when you get a problem and you can't solve it. It makes you break out and sweat middle of the night wondering what the heck's going on. You know, you got good money invested in pieces of equipment and they're acting dodgy on you. So, yeah. Well, I guess we blew our nickel here and used the EP. Next time, maybe we'll have to slide on down to sideband on one for 1400, eh?
No, I've gone on there a few times and hollered to see if anybody was on there, but I can't seem to raise anybody up on there, so I just usually come back to hear.
I did for a couple of years. I monitored on one for 1400, but I don't know, even guys that retired aren't quite like me. I think they still are hand-packed and have yard work. So during the day, they're not allowed to run the radios. And usually by the time the evening comes, I'm ready to watch TV. And I've spent most of the day, you know, I've been able to run my radio, but there's nobody around. Everyone's either at work, or they're doing yard work, or and there isn't a lot of ham these days like there used to be. But yeah, I find this is the best way to go because you can use your I can use my handheld, and I can you know, I can talk to anyone from down in Oliver or up in Vernon. It makes it very convenient. 6.8 though is a pretty good computer for me too, but it doesn't have the coverage up and down the valley on Dale like quite like this one on Okanagan Mountain. This one goes right out to Beaverdale too as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think it does. I don't know, I've never heard anybody out there, but I think it does if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't write the call sign down, but there was a chap in Beaverdale that checked in, and he was talking about cutting hair and stuff, so I thought, oh, that's good to know that you can get that kind of coverage. Yeah, I just heard the XYL coming up the road there, so I guess I'll get ready to greet her there and help her haul in groceries. They serve a nice faculty of food, and we'll maybe do this a little more often now that we're kind of coordinated and we're on this frequency. Hopefully 73, and on your final go to take it away. VE7DBS, then, VE7SKD.
I'm tall, and I think I remember your name is Stephen as well, the same as me, so that's pretty easy to remember. And, yeah, we'll say 73s, and, yeah, we'll have to get on here and check, because, like I say, I'm usually around during the day, either here in stop playing on old radios or something. So, have a good evening. Enjoy your night. The 7DBS will be clear. 73s.
73.